What up? It's the Crossover Pod Friday edition. I'm Howard Beck, senior writer for Sports Illustrated. My guest today is comedian Jamel Johnson, a very funny man and a huge NBA fan. He is the host of the new NBA Storytime podcast. It's a really fun new series. The first episode just came out recently. It's about Shaq and Hakeem and a one-on-one pay-per-view they were supposed to do that never happened back in the early 90s. And NBA Storytime is delving into stories like that. Offbeat stuff, long-forgotten moments. It's a really cool concept. It's a lot of fun. And that's not nearly as fun of a description as Jamel has on the pod summary. So let me just read you a snippet of that, which is: comedian Jamel Johnson regales you with short tales of hornswoggled hoops, bonkers ball, and naughty NBA shenanigans. If you're not already subscribing by now, folks, I don't know what to tell you. That's a phenomenal description, and the series is a lot of fun, so go do that. Jamel's also a big Wizards fan. We had to talk a little bit about Bradley Beal's future. He lives in LA, so we got into Lakers-Clippers rivalry a bit, talked about fans heckling, who the funniest NBA players are, all kinds of fun stuff. And I asked Jamel to tell me what his Nick Anderson moment was as a comedian. And if that reference just flew over your head, Google Nick Anderson and free throws and it will all make sense. Before we get to that, a quick reminder, please subscribe, rate, and review the Crossover Pod wherever you listen to podcasts. Tell your friends. And if you've got feedback for me, suggestions, questions, whatever, hit me on Twitter at Howard Beck. You can also find Jamel on Twitter at Nonprofit Comic. Okay, my conversation with Jamel Johnson is coming up next, so stick around.
This is The Crossover, an NBA show hosted by Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix and Howard Beck.
It's a whole new level for you and me, Chris, this relationship.
Like and subscribe for the best weekly NBA content these two are capable of.
What does that mean?
Could be the best duo ever.
I don't see how you can beat that.
Here they are, Chris Mannix and Howard Beck.
Now, pleased to be joined by the host of NBA Storytime, a podcast you should be subscribing to on your favorite platforms, Jamel Johnson. Jamel, how are you, sir?
Dude, I'm all right, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us on this scorching day. This will be posting later in the week, but it will probably still be scorching. The whole world is on fire. I don't know what's going on.
I love it. I was the only dude on this cross-country flight without a hoodie on, so I loved it. As soon as I got off the plane, I was like, give me a sauna. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you ask for a sauna. We have provided a sauna here in New York.
Greatest city in the world.
It is the greatest city in the world, even when it feels like, we're all in a sweat box. So we were just talking before we started. You just landed, had to get through the insanity that is JFK and our various roadways here. But you were watching soccer. We're going to talk hoops. You were watching soccer on the flight on your phone, which meant you were one of the 17 people in the world who has gotten go-go in flight to work. I want to know how you did that. What is your secret? Because I have problems getting internet on flights.
My secret: dedication, stick-to-itiveness. Hit refresh 1,000 times. Turn your Wi-Fi off. Turn it back on. Hit refresh 1,000 more times. Go to the bathroom, say a prayer, come back, get a Stroop waffle.
Stroop waffles, that's a good strategy. Are you Stroop waffle or Biscoff?
Oh, I mean, I'm big time Stroop waffle. Yeah. No disrespect to Biscoff. No disrespect to the Biscoff team, the family. They make a great product, they're doing great work, but come on, man. You put it on top of your coffee and it gets gooey.
You know, it's its own self-contained thing. I just discovered the Stroop waffle a couple of years ago, changed my life, but I'm old school. I like the Biscoff. It was like the first edible thing that they served on flights in about like a decade after it's real true. Food went away. So,
and it's like, it's a big ass Teddy Graham. It's delicious. You know what I'm saying?
That's what it is. I always wondered what it was reminding me of. You're right. It's a Teddy. It's got a little more high quality than Teddy. It's got snap to it.
That's me almost coming off like a hater. It's definitely a higher quality. I like the setup. I like that it doesn't look like a bear. It just looks like a cookie, like how a cookie should.
Fair enough. So you're DC area native based, or not based anymore, but you came up, I assume, on the Wizards, and you still stand for the Wizards, right? You're a Wizards guy?
Yes. You know, down by law, it's not by choice, but they are my guys. My dad is a Lakers fan, which is a whole nother. I mean, but honestly, the Johnsons are just basketball fans. We are just watching any game we can. We have opinions on all the teams. Bullets / Wizards fan by trade.
So what does a Wizards fan do at this time of year? Because this is not a time of year the Wizards are normally playing. I don't mean that as insulting. It's just kind of just fact, you know.
It's facts. No, we are one of those teams that exist just to get cracked over the head. We are to be sacrificed to our Eastern Conference overlords, your Miami Heat, your Celtics, you know, your Knicks, whoever's hot, where the rappers go to the games.
So they're the Washington Generals of the NBA, except there's already Washington Generals.
Definitely,
it's very confusing.
Definitely of the summer. And this time of year, usually we're picking, you know, 9th, 10th. And I'm just focusing on my breathing, trying not to think about it.
So by the time this posts, we may actually know the finals. We're down to the final four. Do you have any rooting interest in these final four? And assuming that we're just like barreling towards Suns Bucks, which is what it looks like as we record, how are you feeling about a Suns Bucks finals?
I'm feeling good about Suns Bucks. I feel like America's confused, but like they gave Giannis two MVPs. At some point, he was going to have to. But like, for me, personally, I'm the biggest Chris Middleton fan in America. And that's tough to say as a Wizards fan because, Chris Middleton and Bradley Beal, there's some comparisons you can make. They're not the same guy. I would definitely say Brad's cooler, but here's Chris Middleton. He has a better roster around him, but it's just great to see him closing games.
How did you become the world's biggest Chris Middleton fan? Because that's very niche in terms of fandom.
Well, it was just as the Bucks are ascending and Giannis is getting these MVPs and everybody I'm watching games with has these big expectations of the Bucks and they're like, you know, coming up short in the playoffs and then the chatter is like, what is Chris Middleton doing? How is he a number two? I'm like, yo, he's the best player on the team. What do you mean number two? He just doesn't miss. And he's clutch as hell. He's taken all their game winners. He's about 50% for them, at least when they showed me the stat during the Nets series. He dropped 20 the other night in that game three in the fourth quarter. What more do you want from this man?
He doesn't fit the profile. This is the problem for Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton is one of those classic, really, really talented NBA players who it doesn't matter what he does. There's just something missing. He doesn't have the million-dollar smile. He doesn't have the flash. He's not trash talker.
You had it right there. So he would either be hot or talk a bunch of trash.
Yeah.
And he kind of just doesn't do either. He's just a regular-looking guy, just giving it his all. And it's not enough.
He's just out there getting buckets. And in the fourth quarter, in clutch time, when Giannis's limitations come into play, when all of a sudden, Giannis can't just, he's not going to hit that mid-range floater. You need somebody who can actually knock down shots. Middleton can hit from pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. Giannis, I've seen him go shot for shot with every name in the East. You throw any name you want, he's going shot for shot with him. Whether they won the game or not, I've seen it.
So are your friends now starting to come around? If you're the only Chris Middleton guy in the room, are people like this start like a 20-point fourth quarter in a critical playoff game in the conference finals, does that finally like move people to say, you know what, Jamel, you were right the whole time. Chris Middleton's the real deal.
Yeah, I've had a couple friends be like, you know what, when you said it, I wasn't feeling you, but I have to give you your due. I definitely had a couple of those instances. But for the most part, it is Bucks denial right now. Kind of like how Lakers fans treat Clippers fans, where it's just like they're not even acknowledging what's taking place. That kind of vibe.
It's a strange thing. So I covered the Lakers years ago during Shaq and Kobe era, and at that time it was easy for Laker fans to dismiss the Clippers and their fans because the Clippers, of course, were just comically horrible.
Yeah, the Clippers, yeah.
Yeah. But now, like, they've been legit for a while now, and they're an actual threat, at least competitively, not for fans, because it's L.A. Like, L.A.'s a Laker town. It's like, here in New York, it's always going to be a Knicks town. It's never going to be a Nets town. But there is this weird kind of, like, Bill Plaschke, the L.A. Times, wrote about this the other day. Laker fans are, instead of just being above it all, like, man, we got all these championships, we got banners, we're a legacy franchise, we're a legendary franchise. You know, it's just nice that you guys are good for once. And instead of being like dismissive or just like, oh, okay, that's great, you guys have your moment, they're like hostile about it.
Yeah,
it bothers them. It's a weird thing.
When I mention a Clippers game in certain rooms, you can see the body language change. You know that meme, you know, the Arthur fist, you know, the little cartoon hand?
Yes.
People just start balling their fist up when you say Clippers, man. It's like, just let them. It's one time. You guys have been to 50 West Finals. Just let them have one.
So what do you think that is? You're out in L.A. now. Like, you're in the midst of all this. You're immersed in it. Are Laker fans feeling that threatened?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, man. I imagine it feels like when you're the king in what's that movie, Braveheart? Like, you know, like Mel Gibson's coming for you. You don't care. They're not really concerned with. It's just, you know, eventually Mel's gonna get his, and they're just waiting for it. It's weird. And now that there's, you know, talk of Dame leaving. Now they're just like, all right, how do we get Dame for free? I don't know why it is. I think it's just like, yeah, like they're royalty, and the Clippers are literally peasants to them.
In this scenario, Mel Gibson is like Billy Crystal, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's about
so
right.
So Billy Crystal's going to have his face painted like half orange, half blue, or whatever that was. Yeah. That scene. charging on the Lakers facility in El Segundo.
Yeah, and you already know what happens next. I'm not going to get too graphic with it. it is funny that the Clippers fan base is mostly successful comedians.
I don't know. Aside from Clipper Daryl and Billy Crystal, I'm not sure who are the decorated Clipper fans. Who are the like? What's their celebrity contingent?
I think it's Will Ferrell, Paul Scheer. These are the only other names I could come up with. I saw Ricky Lake at a Clippers game one time. She was having a pretty good time.
Ricky Lake, boy, that's very early 2000s.
Oh, 2000s, the 99 and the 2000.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you're listening to The Offspring, I don't think her name comes up very much.
And low-key, like, the Clippers are the team of the city, of the streets. They, like, fixed all the courts.
Yeah, like 100 and something of them, right? And put their logo on it.
Exactly. They got their logo all over downtown, East Side, East L.A., they always got Fat Man Scoop at the game. They always got the Dog Pound doing halftime or something.
They're like, it's like a stealth campaign to take over. They're like trying to win hearts and minds of little kids who were playing on Clipper stamped courts.
Yeah, and I mean, also, they've been better than the Lakers for almost a decade. I mean, like, cumulatively. I know the Lakers won the last title, but like,
yes,
that sample size, a lot of those years the Clippers were better. So hopefully the little Clipper kids can rise up.
I kind of root for that. Like, I like the idea that, and here in New York too, I like the idea where it becomes more of a rivalry, right? Where it shouldn't just be like, you know, completely lopsided 99-1 basically fan bases. Like, it's more fun if both teams in the markets are great, because there's only these are the only places where this happens, New York and L.A.
We're getting some of that soccer energy. Those Manchester City, Manchester United games been going on for like 100 years or whatever, you know?
And those people like want to kill each other, right?
Yeah, you know, and Manchester City sucked for a lot of that, but they was good at one point, and now they're better than Manchester United now. I don't know, whatever. One wears red, one wears blue. That's all you need to know.
So you've got... You have two podcasts. You have the ongoing NBA podcast, the name of which I have.
Oh, Airbuds, my man.
Airbuds. There we go. Sorry.
Yeah. At Airbuds Pod.
The Airbuds Pod. Sorry.
On
all social platforms. The Airbuds Pod. But you've got a newly launched podcast, NBA Storytime, which I love the idea of, because because the NBA is stories. This is the fun of the NBA. Basketball is great, but stories are fun. And your first one is about a kind of like long forgotten little chapter here where Shaquille O'Neal and Hakeem Olajuwon were going to play one-on-one pay-per-view sponsored by Taco Bell.
Yeah.
What did you learn? What will folks learn from this episode to kick off NBA story time?
They'll learn that Donald Trump's been a problem for a long time. If they didn't know that, you
yes,
know.
He has.
They'll learn that the Taco Bell menu wasn't as expansive as it always has been. They'll learn that money rules. And they'll learn that about newspapers. They'll learn about the power of print.
Yes. Amen.
Come on. People look at those. I'm a bus guy. I ride the bus. I'm looking at the paper. I'm looking at the billboard. I'm at your community board. I'm looking at the auto trader. Paper matters. Print matters.
Thank you. Thank you. As a longtime newspaper guy who grew up on newspapers, worked in newspapers for most of my career, yes. I would like to go back to those times sometimes. There was no Twitter. If we could just, like, there's certain things. Like, you know, the internet's great. There's a lot of stuff we could do. But, you know, it's a simpler time.
Yeah, like, what if you knew that the actual real news was a place that you could look at? Wow, the newspaper. Like, you could look at your internet and you could be like, man, that's funny. Oh, wow, that's a crazy thing that guy said. There's no way that's true. Maybe I'll look at this paper. This is official printed paper with the real truth on it.
This is what we need. We need people to divide it out then, right? Like, Twitter could be where all the misinformation and jokes happen and memes and viral stuff.
Yeah,
you can
sure.
go watch a cool dunk. You can, you know, what, and then go to the newspaper to get actual facts. That seems reasonable to me.
That makes a ton of sense for me because I don't even want my facts on my computer. I'm on the computer solely to have fun and say things that aren't true.
And for the memes, really. It's really? All, you know.
Life is memes. You know, when was the first day that everything could become a meme?
You know what's scary? Well, that's a good question, actually. Like, when did meme as a word even enter the lexicon? I don't even remember. Like,
no idea.
I remember the first time I used the word meme when I was at the New York Times. So this had to be at least 9 years ago. And I used the word meme because it was becoming part of Twitter, right? And I was like, already a Twitter creature by that point. Mm. And I used it in a story. But this being the New York Times and that not necessarily being part of their official language of a New York Times editor, it stopped. They had to call me up like, what is this? What do you mean meme? It wasn't I think the word existed, just wasn't in common usage until like Twitter, social media made it so.
Yeah. I mean, about time there were some new words though. I'm like, we were just going to have this one finite set of words. Crazy to me.
You know, evolution's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
The scary thing though, Jamel, is this. Now, every time I see, so like Swin Cash has her reaction to the lottery last week. And immediately my first thought is, oh, that's awesome. That was great. Wow, what an expression. That was great. You know, Swin Cash is phenomenal. And my second thought was, yeah, we're going to be seeing that a lot for the next nine months.
How can I make this picture about me?
Exactly. No, Swin Cash became, that was a very memeable moment. And it's scary that's how we now view everything. The first thought is the reaction. The second thought is, oh, that'd be a great meme. I'm going to save that for Twitter later. Oh,
man, that picture reminds me of when somebody makes some bad macaroni and cheese. Happens to me all the time.
Is there such a thing as bad macaroni and cheese? I guess there probably is.
I mean, according to Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, there is. But I personally haven't come across it.
I'm not one to argue with Grandmaster Flash. This is what I loved about the Storytime podcast. A couple, many things that I loved, but not least of which was the description for the entire series, which is this. Comedian Jamel Johnson regales you with short tales of hornswoggled hoops, bonkers ball, and naughty NBA shenanigans, then discusses what we've learned with comedy and basketball folks who watched or were there. If you could get hornswoggled and shenanigans into the same summary of just about anything, I'm in. We need those words more. I'm now, like, my goal will be by the end of the calendar year to have used at least one or the other of Hornswoggled or Shenanigans. If I could do both, I think I'd get a raise from my editors.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, shouts out to our copy guy, the dude from the Lucky Charms box. It's the dude from the Lucky Charms box.
Like, literally, the guy from the Lucky Charms, like, the leprechaun.
Yeah, yeah.
The leprechaun's writing your copy.
Yeah, yeah. Lucky Charms, homie. I wasn't even supposed to release that because it's non-union. He's not even credited, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's the dude. And also Harry Swartout. What a nut.
Good words. Excellent words. So Shaq and Hakeem never happened. The one-on-one thing never happened because, as you pointed out, money. And because of that guy whose name I won't say. Mm-hmm. So it never happened. I kind of wish I'd forgotten about this, but I had a vague recollection when you did the podcast and I was listening. I'm like, oh yeah, this was a thing. Like, I kind of have this vague recollection that they were going to try to pull this off. And this happens every so often. You noted it in the pod, like Magic and Michael Jordan were going to try to do this. And the NBA does not allow this stuff, does not like this stuff because whatever, risks to their players slash encroachment on their audience, I suppose, and their TV contracts. Should it have happened, though? What do you think would have happened if we'd actually gotten Shaq versus Hakeem one-on-one?
Well, I think it would have been more boring than we would have expected. Because it's like weird. Like, they were just coming off of playing against each other in the finals. Packed arenas, people screaming. And so let's remove, 90% of that atmosphere, and it's just Shaq and Hakeem. Like, I just think that alone takes something away from it. I would buy the pay-per-view and be like, damn, it's just them? There's nobody else there? I don't know what atmosphere they had planned, but two centers that were actually centers that, like, is there somebody feeding them entry passes? Or
right.
It's just some missing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, like that, like this generation of center, you could kind of see it, right? Like, we could do Jokic versus Embiid. Those guys, they both handle, they both shoot.
They would try to cross each other over.
Yeah.
This, I don't know. I just don't know.
Shaq would be the first to tell you. Of course, he'd be the first to tell you. He's got handles. Like, Shaq could actually, for a big man, even at that time, Shaq could handle a little bit. Hakeem could handle a little bit. But Shaq's not going to face up. He'd like to think he can. Hakeem actually could.
This is true. Hakeem versus David Robinson.
Yeah.
This is more of the game. Also, one-on-one, brutal.
They're just going to bang into each other.
They're just going to bang into each other. And then, once somebody misses a couple shots, like chasing rebounds, it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah. It would have been problematic. It's probably better that it didn't happen. But think about how much mileage we'd still be getting out of it.
You want to talk about some damn memes? That's a whole page of just any reaction from that game. Whoa, just to even hear Hakeem talk. We never hear that guy talk.
Yeah. And he sounds like, because he's got that deep voice and the accent, and he sounds very sophisticated. He sounds like a statesman, like like he should be speaking at the UN or something.
Which also would be funny.
For sure, especially when contrasted with Shaq and his slightly lighter persona.
Shaq at that time, he was just Shaq Fu at that time. He wasn't the big Aristotle until he got to LA, right?
He wasn't the big Aristotle until he won MVP.
Oh,
that
okay.
was the Whoa. Day he declared himself the big Aristotle.
Which is the best nickname of all time. I mean, my dad must have called every person in our town the big Aristotle at one point.
And did they know why he was calling them that?
I hope so.
Did he mean it as a compliment? Like hey, you're one of the biggest, smartest people I know?
Yeah, exactly. He would just pull that out whenever he saw somebody he knew. Just to say hi. Oh, cool shoes. Oh, you the big Aristotle now.
So I don't know if people remember this, but Shaq, so I was covering them at that time. Shaq gave himself a new nickname every couple of weeks, sometimes every couple of days. Something would happen, and he would declare himself, I am now the big fill in the blank.
Yeah, and whatever just took place. Yeah.
Yeah, it was contextual. So at one point, I think he became like the big thief or something like that because he had stolen a pass at midcourt. They're at Orlando. He steals the inbounds pass near midcourt and takes off and dunks or whatever to like seal
the
game.
Yeah.
So that actually might have been the big handles on that one or something. Or it might have been the big thief, whatever, because he stole the inbounds pass, whatever. The best one was the one, of course, that couldn't make print because back then it was a newspaper world and we couldn't put these things in print. But he's at one point, he declared himself the big sewer. Do you know why Shaq said, I'm the big sewer?
You're going to tell me.
Because I've got a lot of shit in my game.
Okay, yeah. Very real of him. Nice. It's pretty good.
Only Shaq. Nobody does that anymore. Like we don't have that. We don't have there is no Shaq of today. Embiid has tried. He's the closest.
Because and also like just press is it's just different. Like I'm sure that players were trying to avoid like giving personality to the press just for centuries. I'm sure that's just a type of guy, you know what I'm saying? But like back in the day, that was the only way you could even like show people who you were. Now everybody's got their own Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah. They're going to save all their best material for
social
exactly. media.
Yeah, exactly. It's even more reason not to fuck with the press. Cause like, damn, what am I going to be funny for them? I got my own. I got two vlogs. I got to shoot tomorrow.
See, and I think it's because most of them just aren't that funny. Like,
also
I think they've gotten all the personality coached out of them by their PR teams and their agents and handlers. And
that's not impossible, is what I'll say.
I will just say, as somebody who covers the sport, it's unfortunate. You know, like I miss like the Gary Payton, even Dennis Rodman, the coaches even. Like Phil Jackson was going to talk shit. Jeff Van Gundy was going to talk shit. They were going to like dump on each other. I mean, it's all great theater. I love that.
It's one of the reasons I'm disappointed in myself for not sticking with athletics. I would have been the funniest dude. Oh my God. If I just had just stuck with ball past sixth grade, man, I'd have been so funny.
So
coming to the game with a wig on, you know, game for anything.
All right. But I'm sure you've attended your fair share of NBA games. Yes,
definitely. Absolutely.
All right. So you're a professional comedian. You've got you have the material. This is in your wheelhouse. You're at NBA games. Are you heckling?
Not really. I'm generally excited. Sometimes I'm heckling. I heckled Derek Fisher.
In his playing days or coaching days?
Coaching days. I was at the Mystics game and my guy, one of the story editors on NBA Storytime, Dan Hartigan, a seat freak. He's just looking at all of the seat websites every day, whenever there's a game coming up. We get courtside for Sparks Mystics. Sticks go on a 12-0 run, and I'm right across the way from Derek Fisher, just saying whatever. It was the most out of pocket I've ever been. Usually I'm yelling shit like that in the 300s, you know what I'm saying?
What's the best line you got off? You didn't go Matt Barnes on him, did you?
No, I would never make it personal. I just said it's getting out of hand, Fish. Like he finally the run got to the point where he had to call a timeout. And before he called the timeout, I was like, it's getting out of hand, Fish. You better do something. And then he called a timeout and I felt like I made him do that.
Did you get a look? Did he see?
Nah, I don't think so. No, I think he was too busy. I think he gave that to the ref.
I think we need more creativity from fans now because what it's come to now is like the Garden when they were chanting, when they were taunting Trae Young and they were saying Trae is balding. Like that's not bad. Like that's a little, you know, it's getting a little personal, but like.
But the problem I have with that is half the crowd is balding. I know a dude who went to that game who's balding.
All right, but they're probably middle-aged or supposed to be, and he's like, you know, 21 or something.
He's got weird hair. What if they just yelled weird hair?
So this goes to my point. I want them to be more creative. If the best you could do these days, and we saw it several times this postseason, was fuck fill in the blank and 20,000 people just chanting that, like, that's not interesting or unique or it's coarse. Like, I mean, I've dropped my share of F-bombs in my day, but 20,000 people chanting it to me just feels nastier. It's a little, it's a little too hostile for me.
It's weird that I feel like colleges, maybe because just the nature of college, it's this place where you're trying to become the most intelligent, smartest version of yourself. So I feel like they're always coming with some real focused heckles, you know, but then some, yeah. Then the NFL, like once you get to the pros, it's just like, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, like just like do something more interesting, more unique, right? Use a little creativity. I feel like we've lost a little of that. It's like Robin Ficker, the famous like Bullets days. Do you remember Robin Ficker? He was like Bullets / Wizards. He was like an attorney, I believe.
Is he an older white guy with glasses?
Yeah,
I have seen that guy.
Yeah, he doesn't go anymore, but he was like the famous, infamous, whatever heckler at Bullets / Wizards games, yeah. Like back in the 90s, early
90s. I've heard him. I've definitely been and seen him just like nonstop.
We need those guys back. All right, so if we're doing the one-on-one today, Akeem and Shaq never happened. Mm-hmm. Who would be the best matchup today if we're going to come up with the pay-per-view that the NBA will probably never allow?
This is very interesting. How do I do this where it doesn't involve Steph?
Because I had a few ideas. Steph was involved in one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you give me Steph versus Dame.
Steph versus Dame. Like, that's an obvious one, right? Like, we got to have, like, the two guys who are not afraid to shoot from 50 feet.
Yeah.
Who both got handles, who are, you know, obviously same position, similar skill sets. Plus, Dame fans will always say, well, Dame could do whatever Steph could do. Why isn't he in the same? You know, like, oh, if you just swapped out Dame for Steph, Dame would have three championships. You hear that a lot. So that feels like a natural one.
For sure.
Plus the Oakland thing.
Yeah. Oh, man. So sad they moved. I want to see Harden versus Giannis.
Ooh. Yeah, there's some bad blood there.
There's some bad blood there, and Harden, everyone always wants to say he's a great post defender. And Giannis can't shoot. So it's going to come down to him having to get past James. And James can just chuck up bombs whenever he gets the ball. I want to see James versus Harden, but Giannis gets the ball first.
Giannis is just going to jump over him. Like, yes, Harden is strong enough to hold him up a little bit. But then at a certain point, Giannis is going to go like, why am I still banging up against this guy? I can just spin and jump over him and extend my arms the full length of their ridiculous reach and just dunk.
Yeah. Just because they're so, yeah. And that's the one that I want to see that's opposites. LeBron versus KD. Sure.
Definitely.
Let's just do that.
Because you know KD thinks, like, he has never accepted the idea that LeBron's the best player of the era. Like, KD absolutely believes they should be on the same level.
Yes. And I remember he said it before it was even true. He was like, I'm sick of being number two.
Yeah. He did. That's right. Trey versus Luka. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. It's like Trey versus Luka is the right answer, but I think size Luka versus Harden would also be fun.
Luka versus Harden would be good. Yeah.
Just a couple of dribbling freaks. What are they going to do? Is anyone going to try to go to the rim?
No, they're just going to keep stepping back on each other until they're 100 feet apart because they just both keep stepping back.
They're going to step back to different dimensions.
The other obvious one, the one I said earlier, like Embiid versus Jokic would actually be a big man battle worth watching. Like, I think that actually could be fun.
So much fun. I want to see that. And the undercard is Beal versus Middleton.
Oh!
For the heads. That's for the head. That's for my basketball analytics. That's for my basketball reference guys.
I tried to get really crazy with it, like really niche and also just a little off the beaten path here. I was trying to think like who would be the best all annoying matchup, like Pat Beverly versus like maybe Marcus Smart or something. Yeah. Like two guys who are just going to like slap the shit out of each other and just and whoever doesn't lose their cool ends up winning.
Draymond versus Jay Crowder.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, that fits.
They're probably going to get into it. John Wall versus Reggie Jackson. They're not known as that type of player, but I believe they both hate each other. And I have no basis for that. This is all just based on the fact that no matter what was ailing John Wall, he found a way to beat Reggie Jackson on the Pistons. He was just never going to lose to that guy.
Reggie Jackson's having this amazing run with the Clippers right now, and all I remember is that aside from the fact he's bounced around, been hurt and everything else, if I remember this correctly, like KD and Russ did not like Reggie Jackson and couldn't wait for him to be out of Oklahoma. I think I'm remembering that correctly. And this guy now is balling.
Hey, you know, I'm so glad that it came to this. And when I found out that the Clippers were picking him up, I'm like, man, Lakers gonna have to be worried now. Like, that was actually the moment. Like, I guess I believed in Blake and DeAndre and Chris Paul, but when they signed Reggie Jackson, I was like, what is going on? Like, this might be one of the best teams ever.
If Kawhi Leonard were playing right now, I wonder where things would be.
I know. They probably – he doesn't let that lob shit happen in game two, I don't think.
Yeah, that one's going down in the annals of Clipper humiliations.
Clippers are in – you know, they provide a certain kind of theater that I don't think the Lakers are never going to be comical in that way, at least not in the playoffs. Now, I know the bad teams were – they've had a guy go on the floor with, you know what I'm saying, no pants on. Like, yeah, I know the Nick Young years, the Robert Sacre. Like, I know.
Smush Parker.
Yeah, I know it gets bad, but that wasn't funny. Everybody was pissed.
Fair. This is going to be the weirdest segue I will possibly make.
All right.
You mentioned in the in NBA Storytime about Shaq and Hakeem. This is at the time that the Magic had lost to the Rockets in the finals or right after that. Famously known, of course, for Nick Anderson missing key free throws in game one. Poor Nick Anderson. Like, that's like, it's like you start typing Nick Anderson into Google and missed free throws just auto-populates right after. Yeah. What would be the stand-up comedy equivalent of Nick Anderson missing those free throws at the foul line in game one of the NBA finals? And have you had it?
Yes. I think it's because it's not just bombing. Like, you got a bomb on the, like, it's like Bill Burr bombing in Philly. You know what I'm saying? You ever seen that video?
I have not.
Yeah, it's like when it's like you've been doing stand-up for years and you're proven, and then you get this arena show and shit just goes sideways, and then you can't get them back. And then, you know, things start getting embarrassing. We're getting close to Michael Richards territory, is what I'm saying to you. Bombing on the highest scale possible, where it just hurts physically. Now, yes, I have, definitely. I've done had them all. Got booed off stage, got it all, did it all. You know what I'm saying? But not on Nick Anderson level.
Right. That would have to be at like a sold out show at the Garden or something.
Yeah, and then also
it would be
at the end of the show. Like, imagine you bought a ticket to a show, and then the last 5 minutes of it was the worst shit you ever heard. You're like, man, I forgot I was even having fun.
Like, everything was great. Great jokes, timing, everything's perfect. In the very end, it just falls off a cliff, and now you're depressed, and you want your money back.
Exactly, which is like pretty hard to do. That's like literally one-to-one, but I've definitely seen like dudes on that level catch a brick.
All right, so when you had that moment yourself, not the Nick Anderson version of it, but when you've had that moment.
Oh, I mean, I've definitely felt, okay, so here's one time I was doing a show and the show was going all right. And then halfway through the show, this dude started heckling me, and the crowd wanted me to go after him. They're like, get him. And like, I don't know. I was trying to act like I was like, you know, better than the situation. And then I did the most rookie softball shit of all time. I was like, oh, you think you're so funny? Well, then here you go. Then I just gave him the mic. And then this guy proceeded to do like a Chris Rock impression.
Whoa.
It was terrible. Host came up to me after. He was like, don't ever do that again. I was like, yeah, I that was my Nick Anderson moment for sure. Luckily for me, it wasn't on national television. It was in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
So this is not, this does not live on forever on YouTube, in other words.
Yeah, nah. This is even pre-YouTube, low-key. You know what I'm saying? This was actually Wild Wild West YouTube. So this was like when you could watch like full movies on YouTube still.
Or like people just like, here's a 2 minutes of my son pogo sticking in the driveway.
Yeah, exactly. There's no like focused energy
yeah.
to what YouTube is at this point.
Was this a good Chris Rock impression the guy did?
Nah, I mean, no.
It was bad.
I should have destroyed this guy.
Yeah.
He had a suit on he still had the cardboard in his pocket square.
Yeah.
And I saw it right away, and I was just like, I don't even want to do this. I like opted out, which is such a pansy move.
So the next time you got heckled, I take it you just went back at the guy instead, put him in his place?
Oh, the next time I unloaded. It was pretty nuts. I actually went a little too hard.
Really? Like, did he just, like, did he burst into flames or, like, sink under his table? Did his date leave him?
Kinda. He's with a bunch of people. It's this show, real tight space. And I'm getting into it with the dude in the front table. You know, he's like 4 or 5 feet away from me. And we're going back and forth, and I'm just killing this guy. And he got up and, like, smashed a glass on the ground. And I was like, oh, well, you know, then I started laughing. Because, like, Dale, you didn't even throw it at me.
That's humiliating.
Yeah, but then I was like, oh, man, what if he did throw it at me?
Do you worry about that?
No, I mean,
yeah.
I worried about it then, but that was... Yeah. It was kind of where I found the line, you know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, you don't, you know... Get a couple laughs at the guy's expense. Just try to get him to be quiet. You don't have to keep going.
you don't have to incite him to start breaking shit or throwing
stuff.
Yeah,
exactly.
Who's the funniest NBA player? Intentionally or unintentionally?
Wow. That's a great question. Embiid intentionally. You know... Brad's been getting kind of funny online, but man, I'm struggling to find a second right now. Melo. Melo's kind of funny in that new ad, the Black Widow commercial with Lonzo. So there's a commercial with LaMelo and Lonzo in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like they've added them to this Black Widow
car. Oh, they're doing the crossover chasing stuff. Synergy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's funny in that crossover thing. It's brief. Yeah. Miles Bridges, he's kind of funny.
Have you watched Blake Griffin's stand-up?
Oh, yeah. Could I forget Blake Griffin was in the league?
I mean, he's always the obvious one. I was kind of trying to steer away because like, tried to do this. So
Blake Griffin has done every show I have ever wanted to do. It's so funny to think about Blake Griffin doing stand-up. I'm like, I also want to dunk, but I can't, so I decided to do stand-up. And he still ended up doing every show I wanted to do. I wish I had just learned to dunk.
And just when you thought it was because he couldn't dunk anymore, turns out he can still dunk.
He can still dunk. The Pistons need to be filing a class action suit against this man.
No doubt. All right, a couple more before I get you out of here. Are you rooting for Bradley Beal, the player, and his happiness, which might mean he needs to be somewhere else, mm-hmm. or are you rooting for... the Wizards as a franchise, as the team you kind of grew up on, and keeping him come hell or high water and just try to figure this thing out?
I'm rooting for the Wizards' happiness because the Wizards' happiness could also mean we trade him to somebody for a lot of stuff, which
so you're good with
would
that.
Also love. Hey, man, it's such is life. If you have to win a title, maybe DC isn't the right town. I would love it if... because it seems like he's committed to putting all the energy he can into getting guys to come to him, which I think is the dream for a lot of guys. I don't think people want that Laker big city pressure, but it's like, you know, you have to go there to get the title. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's Yes, but I mean, look, we are, as I say, as we're taping this, we are seemingly heading toward, we'll know more by the time this posts.
You're right.
Looks like Buck Suns, right? Like we may have the breakthrough that allows guys to say, you know what, maybe I don't have to be the 1700th person to go to LA or Miami or New York or wherever to go do this,
yeah.
Right? Like, but the Wizards have a tough road in trying to improve around him. I'm with you. But this is easy for me to say. I'm not a Wizards fan. I think they should just cash out, get everything in the world you can for him, and start from scratch. And Beal will find some, you know, find his happiness elsewhere.
I'm a little upset with the Lakers that they didn't just do the right thing and give us all the children. Give us all the kids. Give us Ingram. You know what I mean? Come up off it.
Before they did the Davis trade, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I get it. They had to get AD. I knew when they got LeBron, AD was next. That it had to be.
And hard to argue with the results.
Yeah, it just made too much sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know who's coming. The most interesting thing in my basketball life is Tokyo Olympics, because this roster is all recruitment-seeking guys. The whole roster is guys trying to figure out where they're going, who they can get to play with them.
This will be interesting too, right? So Beal is part of that team. We got Bam is on that team. Booker, Jeremy Grant, Draymond, Drew, Zach LaVine, Dame, Kevin Love, still strange. Chris Middleton, your guy, and Jason Tatum, and then Durant. So like, there's the field of guys who could be conspiring to team up. You got my wheels turning now. I'm trying to think like, who's teaming up out of that group?
It's a real good question. I don't know. I think a couple of those guys are trying to get Brad to come somewhere.
Yeah, that's for sure. They're all, you know what? They're all recruiting Brad and Dame. Right?
Yeah.
It's not about like, who knows where they go. It's like 10 of those guys are all conspiring individually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Middleton.
Because he's just Chris Middleton. He's just cool. He's fine. Like, he's like, yeah, things are good.
We're actually pretty set up over here.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably feels like he doesn't need anything. Like he's Chris Middleton. He's just happy with his life.
They need a different center.
Giannis should be their center.
That's true. But then, like, who's the fifth guy? Is it PJ? Just somebody scrappy down there. Harrell? Would Harrell make sense on that team? No.
Nah, you can't have another non-shooter out there.
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say, it's not right.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll work on that one in the offseason. Before I let you go, so NBA story time. I love the concept. What else are we going to hear about that we have either long forgotten or that is just more amusing? What's coming?
Well, you know, there's some, terrible Dark Laker Day teams that we're going to get into. We're going to discuss Ricky Davis's career at length. We're going to get into the past. We got a little ABA talk. We're going to talk about the Spirit of St. Louis without talking about cocaine. We're going to talk some Celtics. We're going to talk about the accordion.
The accordion.
Yeah.
See, that one even you lost me on.
There was a dude from like 59 who got drafted by the Celtics, and a part of his contract was he got to play the accordion at halftime of every game.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's just a nutty one. We're also going to get into some conspiracy theories, some things that aren't necessarily stories, but just me trying to put the pieces together on my own. You know what I'm saying? They let me get into some conjecture.
Nice.
You know, we're going to talk a little WNBA. We're going to talk about Nancy Lieberman.
So good stuff. Good stuff. All type up of NBA story time.
Yeah, we're headed in every direction possible. If you like basketball and stories about basketball, this is the one.
I think before it's all up, as long as you're doing the conspiracy theories too, you got to get to the bottom. I shouldn't have even phrased it that way. Of the Paul Pierce wheelchair and what happened.
Whoa.
Yeah, put that on the list.
You know what? You're right. I've got like one more. Me and Dan got like one more story to finish. It might be the poop story, son.
I mean, someday the truth must come out.
It's true. For lack of a better term.
I swear to God, that was not intentional. I walked right into that. That was. So I look forward to that. I look forward to Jermell Johnson finally explaining to us all definitively for all time, for posterity, what the hell happened with Paul Pierce, a wheelchair, and possibly some poop. Maybe.
Yeah, a little fecal matter. Man, and make sure I give you that producer credit when I do, dog. We gotta throw you your lobs because that's a great one.
I appreciate that. Jermell Johnson, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for spending the time. Folks, go subscribe to NBA Storytime and Air Buds, the other one, the name that I keep forgetting.
If you got some more time, there's another one, at Air Buds Pod. Get them both. We're running around. Things are happening.
People are going to start commuting again soon. You got to fill that time, folks. You got
exactly.
Download the podcast. Jermell, thanks so much, man. This has been fun.
I appreciate you, man.
Okay, that's all for today's show. Thanks again to my guest, Jermell Johnson. Thank you to our producer, Shelby Royston. Thank you to you all for listening. Remember, you can hear Chris Mannix and me every Tuesday on The Crossover with all the latest NBA chatter. And on Fridays, it's me and a guest. Got some great ones coming up. Don't forget to rate and review and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And hit me with all your feedback on Twitter at Howard Beck.